Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yeah, nice to be with you, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy. My name's Tony Squires. Our special guest host is Wade Graham. Lovely to have your company. Just a couple of hours we get to share, talking State of Origin. We're going to go into the New South Wales Blues camp in a moment. Just before that, to the Tyre Power scoreboard, just tell you what's happened so far this weekend in this split round. Thursday night, the Dragons 52 over the Broncos 24. And as we mentioned, the Tigers 26 over a weakened Panthers 6. That's because they've got a whole mob of those Panthers in the Blues camp, along with the great Danny Badiris, assistant coach, who joined us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Afternoon, Tone. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Excited about Townsville, excited about Wednesday. When do you head north?
Yeah, anytime you're involved, it's a privilege and an honour, that's for sure. Nothing really changes other than going north. Everything's sort of the same. We'll head to Townsville and get up there on Monday afternoon and start our preparation up there. But Peter Parr is our team manager. He obviously lives up there, and he's given us a bit of a rail run into a couple of little restaurants and different things that we can set the team up with. So it'll be good once we get up there.
Now, Bedsy, I know you love your music, but now you're an Usher fan, I believe, because of the Brian Toto and Luai boombox, baby. What's going on? How are the boys in camp?
how good are those two? They're that respectful and humble at the same time. They're just talented. They're talented in having fun. That's what it's about. It's all about having fun. But once they start training and start talking footy, that's just clicking the mode. So, it's been a pleasure to get in there and watch, especially those Penrith guys go about their business. And Isaiah Yeo does a lot for Nathan. And it's good to spend some time with Arpi Korosau as well. They've got a good thing going on there out of Penrith.
Hey, Bedsy, you got a couple of decent centres there too, mate. How do you work out getting the football, making sure that those guys get involved in the contest on Wednesday? You spoke about those three in the middle, and they're obviously going to be key, and you're playing up there in hopefully going to be some dry conditions. So you got a couple of Ferraris out wide. How do you feed them the footy?
Yeah, we've got to get in good field position. I think that's the biggest thing. Yep. You saw in game three last year, we're just taking the ball out of the back end of the field, and we were stuck down there a lot of times, which took all our strike players out of the match. So we've got to be better in that area, there's no doubt. But, we've got to get down the other end of the field and bring those players in. And, you got some power there and some strike. But it all starts in the middle of the field. That the team that in the middle, it will sort it out, and that'll definitely can help our strike out wide. So, our big boys got a big job at hand there on Wednesday night.
Hey, Beds, it's Wade Graham, mate. The game moving to Townsville, I know it's going, in the enemy territory, but are you looking forward to it a bit? I think a drier track maybe suits our guys, Tedesco, Latrell, Turbo. Is there a party that looks forward to the dry track instead of Melbourne?
Hey, Wade, oh, yeah, mate, absolutely. It's going to be 22 degrees. It'll be spot on. So you're right. It's the challenge ahead. It's going to be an awesome event. That stadium alone, you play NRL up there. It's a real honour as well. But to have it full and pretty hostile is going to be exciting. So, it will help our, like I said, it's usually dewy, even at Sydney. There's a little bit at Suncorp as well, but going further north, it'll be spot on conditions for a fast track. So, hopefully, we keep our players, both teams can keep their players on the field. But if it was to go that way, one goes to the bin on either side, because of the conditions and the best players in the game and how quick they are and how much strike they've got in the game. Hopefully, it's a really good spectacle for everyone to watch.
Great pack the Queensland side has. But what about their halves? We talk about Luai, young kid coming into this game onto that huge stage. And then you've got the DCE and Cam Munster in front of him.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a bit of experience and money. You just love, he goes towards the game. Munster, he just takes it on. No matter what the score is, no matter what the situation is in the game, or if they haven't had much possession, he just still goes to the game. And I've got a feeling like that with Jerome as well. He just keeps taking the ball to the opposition, and we'll keep asking questions. So that's exciting for him, and you know, having that combination with Nathan and Isaiah Yeo, that'll definitely calm him. There's no doubt, but he'll need to defend well, kick well, those things that you want out of your halves, and steer the team around with his talk. So he'll have no problem with communication. He does that really well.
Being an ex-fantastic rake, they used to call the rakes hookers for those young kids who are listening to the show. Harry Grant, obviously he's an X-factor for the Maroons. Much been centered around him as far as tactics go. Bedsy?
Yeah, the middle of the field's always that and when I spoke about it, you got to win it, but yeah, it brings in that player like Harry Grant and Damien Cook. So both teams will need to be on song in the middle of the field, especially around the marker area. And Harry did take us apart. There's no doubt in game three last year, and he's got that ability to skip off his left foot and go really hard and at those sort of B and C defender, and we've got to be, you know, pretty tight in there, and we've got to have a real concentration on really eliminating, you know, Harry's strike, because they feed off him, and you know, whether or not he'll play the 80 or what they'll do with Brimson, I'm not sure, but you know, he'll play 80 easy. He's pretty fit, and we've got to tire him out a bit and take away all his asset, and that's that strike to get out of dummy half.
Jack's obviously a guy at some point. Bedsy, we want to get into the game. How do we do that?
Yeah, need to get Jack in there. He covers all sorts of positions, and you know, even the 18th, good 18th man could get a run in RP. You know,
yep.
If there is someone that's put on report and doesn't come back. So, yeah, you've got to be strategic there and making sure that, you know, Jack can come on and cover all the outside backs, and also he can come and play a little bit of middle as a 13 as well. I know we've got Yo in and Jakey Dvojevic, but you can have another runner in there. So there's different ways we can bring him into the game, but he's definitely there to cover all options and if something does arise.
What about your coach, Freddie Fittler? How's he been coping this time around? He said earlier in the campaign, you know, he thought that maybe he got outcoached last year by Wayne Bennett in that series. How's he approached it this time around?
Yeah, been really good. It's been really good being back at Coogee, familiar surroundings, and there's actually been five teams staying in the hotel. Richmond stayed in there, two Super Rugby teams, a soccer team. So I think the room service has been getting a workout. but Freddie's, you're right. He sort of said, you know, I'm going to coach a lot more this year from point of view of putting his fingerprints all over the team, and it's been really good to see him do that. You know, and it's you know, from a footy knowledge point of view, the players have really sorted that out, how they want to play, and Freddie's got that mindset, that winning mindset that he has and he possesses. You know, he's really putting that onto the team. So it's been a good build-up. It's always good to break, which we have yesterday, and break today and get home and see your families. But once you come back in tomorrow, you can really fine-tune things and start talking a little bit emotionally around the performance.
Back to Clubland, just a quick sec. Sunday, tomorrow is Old Boys Day at Newcastle against the Eels. You obviously won't be part of that because you'll be in transit, but what makes it so special? I mean, you guys at Newcastle were the first to implement it. I think in the early 90s you started the Old Boys Day, and tomorrow a lot of Old Boys will converse on to the stadium, and it's been a big 3 days up there with Mark Hughes Foundation having a great night for him and the such, Bedsy. What makes it so special, the Old Boys Day at Newcastle, brother?
There's a few seedy old boys at the moment, MG, so we kicked off last night. they were well marinated by the time I got there. It was really good to see them, and we had an awesome night last night. And then tonight we've got a gala ball, a big ball, a big fundraiser for the foundation, and hopefully we'll have, you know, a few hundred there, and then everyone converges on the stadium tomorrow for Old Boys. So we traditionally have it in the last home game of every year, but we got the Gold Coast on the Thursday night this year. So we said, well, let's sort of change tack and see if we can bring it forward to when we played the Eels 20 years ago, which is round 13 tomorrow. But yeah, it's always a fun night. We put in a lot of effort into it. Like, got pretty much a subcommittee on this one to making sure that it does work. And, 20 years, and we haven't celebrated too much here at the Knights, but, you know, it's all about our old boys are always there for the current group. That's one thing I love about our old boys. They're always in support and making sure that we can be a part of what they need to do going forward. And you know, tomorrow they'll be 100 odd so old boys there to watch the boys take on the Eels.
Yeah, it's a good game. Hey, Bedsy, just before you go, I just want to ask you a couple of, just a question on Nathan and how his preparation's been. We've seen his form at club level this year. Now, I get the impression that over the last couple of years, he's come into Origin and he's kind of just been happy to be there. The maturity he's shown over the last 18 months, and even though last year's series he was solid, what's his attitude like around the group? Has he taken a more senior role this year? What are your expectations of him on Wednesday night and how he plays?
Yeah, definitely, Gerds, you're spot on. He's matured in a lot of ways. I think he's gone through some experiences in the last 24 months, 2 years around on and off the field that have really steeled him for where he's at the moment. He's at, you know, a real elite player and, you know, one of those top players in the competition at the moment. And you can see what he's done at the Panthers with their winning ratio there. So it's all done on the back of I love how calm he is in all situations and pretty stable and communicates pretty stable as well. Like, he's not in a frustrated state at any time or looks flustered. That's one thing. So we've got to make sure we can help him stay in that mindset. And, you know, everyone's got a role to play and he's taking control of, you know, what he wants to implement into the team. So it's been a really good thing to watch, and he's owning this performance and he's owning this team. So now all halfbacks need to.
Danny Medeiros, as ever, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. Really appreciate it. Good luck Wednesday evening.
Yeah, good luck, Bedsy.
No dramas, boys. Thank you.
Have fun tonight.
There he goes. New South Blues assistant coach Danny Medeiros heading north to Townsville to take on the Maroons. All right, I want to dig deep into what's going on at the Sharks. We've heard during the week, and now is this official, that Josh Dugan, Sean Johnson, and our mate Aaron Woods won't be with the club next season?
Yeah, the boys, they spoke to us the other day at training and let us know that they'd had a meeting with the club and that they were told they weren't in the plans for the future, which is, you know, at an individual level is really disappointing. We obviously spent a lot of time together, train every day together. Been a big part of the club for the last few years. I suppose the only, you know, from a club perspective, I feel like, although it's not nice news, at least it's news. There's clarity for the players, you know, that they can focus on the back end of the season now, trying to play some good footy and start to look elsewhere to secure their future. So, you know, bad news, you know, from a player's perspective is better than no news. So
we are going to.
I'm glad the club was up front with them as soon as they knew what their plans were and have given the boys, you know, as much opportunity to look elsewhere.
Wade, in terms of, I want to get to the, you know, like the personal toll that all these movements does have on players and teammates is one thing. We see that Josh Dugan and Sean Johnson and Aaron Woods now have been told that, you know, they can move on, can look for other clubs for next season. On the other hand, you've got Nicho Hynes coming in, who's just played some great football for Melbourne, who's stood up in the number one jersey. But my understanding is he's more likely to land in the six at the Sharks.
Yeah, well, the club's just re-signed Will Kennedy as well, so he's been doing a tremendous job for us this year. He's probably been one of our best players.
Great player.
He's really kicked on in his second full year of first grade. We've seen Nicho play a number of roles at Melbourne, and he played him really well, capable player to play multiple positions. He's hit some really good form. I think the most pleasing thing for the way Nico's playing, he's doing it sometimes without, you know, the Harry Grant and the Brandon Smith's been out. Munster has been out, so he's been in there. Pappenhausen's been out. He's been in there doing it himself, which is a real positive for us to look at. He comes out of that Melbourne system, so you know he's a good person. He's doing the right things off the field, and he's young. He's got young legs. He's a great acquisition for us. So along with him and
he looks like a surfer too, so he'll fit in.
Well, he's a Central Coast boy.
Yeah.
The way he might have had lunch down in Cronulla and seen the waves off the point and thought, yeah, I could see myself living here. So along with him and, you know, Kevin McGuinness. So who people tend to forget about just because he has been playing. I think he's going to add a lot to our middle. Experience, tough. So they're a couple of good signings.
Matty Moylan is also in favour?
Yeah, well, he's had a couple of meetings, so I'm not sure how far they've progressed, but it would look likely at this stage if they could reach an agreement, but it's ongoing, so I don't know where it sits. I think Craig's doing a pretty good job while, you know, still being employed at the Roosters to find time away from that job to make some decisions and to give some boys clarity on their future and you know, really start the transition in the next year.
So that's probably the biggest signing of all, isn't it, Craig, coming over, Fitzgibbon from the Roosters. Have you had any sort of conversations with him, and what do you think he's going to bring?
Yeah, I've had a few conversations, obviously, when the news first came across that he'd signed with the Sharks. A couple just to touch base to see how I was going, to, you know, just general conversation. I've been involved with him before throughout the Origin period, so we know each other a little bit. You know, what he's going to bring, I think, well, a heap of experience. He was at the top of his game as a player for, you know, 15 years, and now he's been, at you know, assistant coach at the Roosters, you know, in arguably one of their best eras, you know, back-to-back premierships. You know, a really successful club for a long period of time. He brings that experience, and I think he's just going to be someone who's strong in his conviction, he's strong in what he believes. You know, he's probably coaching philosophy will be, and I don't think he'll be, you know, he'll stand out in front of it, he'll own it, and it'll be up for the players to get in behind him and get on board. And certainly for me, I think it's an exciting time for the club, having someone like that coming in. And you know, the board's doing a good job off the field, tightening the business up and putting the club in a, you know, a financial, a place where it's going to be stable for a long time. We're back to PointsBet Stadium next year, which is another positive. The build on the club is a bit delayed, but being back at our home ground is a massive boost for our members and fans. So there's a lot to look forward to for the club.
You can feel the sun starting to shine on the Shire. And look, everyone was disappointed by the way, you know, Bomber Morris was handled. We thought, you know, he's a bloke who's been, he got the team to his finals the last couple of years, and with limited resources and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But once I think Craig Fitzgibbon got the job and the pedigree that he possesses over his long time with Robinson at the Roosters, I think he needed a couple of kills, and I think you're right. We forgot about McInnes. I've forgotten about McInnes. That's a magnificent signing.
Yeah,
you know, for
St. George Player of the Year for the past two seasons.
Yeah,
I think.
He's had the year off, Tone. Yeah, you know, so he's going to have some K's in his legs. And Nico Hines, I think every time someone's signed somebody from the Storm, you go, they're not going to be that player they are away from the Melbourne Storm. But what Wade just said about him being the dominant player in the last 3 or 4 weeks without the Stars has convinced me that it doesn't matter who he plays for, he's got the ability. And I think, you know, I'm hearing Finucane is also on his way to the Sharks, or, you know, maybe, which could be a massive signing as well. Things are really starting to pick up for the Sharks. You can feel it. You can feel the rebuild starting to happen. And Craig Fitzgibbon's obviously got his eyes on the Roosters' fortunes at the moment, but what he's doing just by being the head coach at the Sharks and having that mantle has been unbelievable for the club.
Just taking away the football element of it, it's just one of those things, isn't it, about being a footy player, that you're going to lose mates along the way in terms of playing, you know, they're in your team and then suddenly off they go, because that's what happens in the sport you play, in the career you've chosen.
Yeah, definitely. You see it, you know, time and time again throughout your career, and you go through it yourself throughout your career. I think if you just look at the fact that we had 12 players off contract at the start of the year, you go, well, you're probably not going to be able to keep everyone.
Yeah.
In a perfect world. And we do see it, you know, it is a part of the game. It's not a nice part of the game, because, you know, these are the guys, you spend every day with them. You spend just as much time with your team as you do with your family.
Yeah.
And you build relationships, and your families outside of the game build relationships. And it is hard to see guys move on, but, you know, there's numerous reasons why players move on. Sometimes it's for a better deal. Sometimes because the club wants to go in another direction. And it is, you know, as you get more experience and further along in your career, you do realise it is a part of the game. It's not a nice part of the game sometimes, but it is a part of the game. And I think, you know, as I said earlier, the positive is the club's been upfront and clear. It's given them clarity. So the boys can look to the back end of the year now and try and get the best deal they can moving forward for themselves and their family.
And without kicking cans and playing each week and turning up and doing the best they can, which is exactly what Matt Dufty did for the Dragons, he's another one who's been told his services won't be required in the red and white next year. Why? I'm not sure. And each week, you don't have been back after having a couple of weeks off.
And they absolutely missed what he brought to the table as the fullback and as a playmaker. He's been developing. I just can't. You know, I just don't understand it. I know, Gerds, we probably differ on this, but he scored tries. He set up tries. He was amazing against the Broncos in that 52-24 win.
We don't disagree on that.
Yeah, but it's not enough. Not enough for Anthony Griffin to go, you know what, maybe we should have another look at him.
Well, I think Wade touched on it in relation to when he spoke about what he thinks Craig Fitzgibbon's going to bring. You know, he's got a north and he's going to stand behind his decisions, and you can't flip-flop on one decision. On one game. And it's not one game. He's been their most creative player probably now for the last 12 months, to be honest, to be fair. But there's just something about his game or his personality that the club they're not buying into. Now, I'm not sure which one it is. There's certain parts of his game, sure, I think he could be a lot better at. But he ticks the boxes when the Dragons get on the front foot. He's their go-to man. He can find a way to deliver in those key moments. And that's an essential skill. And that's a skill that every team, especially now that the rules have changed, and the rule changes have certainly helped guys that have that little bit of speed and can play too wide of the ruck. And then, you know, on the back of some momentum, you throw Matt Duffy the ball. Every team's got one of those players. And they're crucial to the side. But there's other parts of his game, whereas if I was a coach, I wouldn't have Matt as, you know, and I'm building to try and get a side into the four. Yeah, he wouldn't be.
But if you're building
the first fullback that I picked.
But from what you've got at the Dragons, who
I don't know
who's better.
Got.
That's my question: is who is better?
I don't know
than
who's
Duffy.
Coming through their system. But they must, if they're letting Matt Duffy go, they must have a plan. Now I don't know what it is, but
I'm pretty
must
sure
have
they
one.
Signed Ramsey on a long term deal, 3 or 4
yeah,
year
Cody,
deal.
Yeah, they have
just re-signed it, and they've signed Lomax on a long deal. So. You know, they may have plans there. It's just, he's just got points. Like, he's just got points written all over him, Duffy. And, you know, I know as an opposition player, you know, if you come up against the Dragons right now, at the moment, with Matt Duffy in their team, they're more of a threat. Mm. They're definitely more of a threat because he's got the skill to beat you with his speed and his footwork. He's got the skill to stand too wide off the ruck, like you said. And he's got every pass available. He's got the short ball, the cutout, and the double cutout when he hits the winger. And we see it. We see him consistently do it. So it's a hard one. But again, you know, clubs make decisions like this all the time. And I think once the decision's made, you sort of got to back that decision. You made that decision originally for, you know, there's a reason behind it. And flipping around and changing your mind is not good for anything.
Well, let's hear from Coach Anthony Griffin.
Yeah, you know, he had a really good game, Matt. You know, he made the most of the opportunities he got. It was good.
Can you understand, though, why people would look at that performance by Matt and just say, why won't he be at the club next year?
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, there's a lot of things, you know, that go into that. It's not about one game or, you know, a performance, you know. So, you know, we need to enjoy tonight. And last time we were here, we probably should have beat, you know, the Sharks, but we didn't get that reward. So I was really happy for them tonight that they got that.
Doesn't sound in his voice like he's changing, although you could never read anything into Anthony's voice. It's the same all the time. What do you reckon, MG? Are you surprised still?
Yeah, very. Yeah, very. I like Hook Griffin. I really do. I think he's a really good coach. And as Gaz said, I admire his stance and not going back. And you know, you could almost feel it being like an Alex Johnson situation at South where the fans kind of revolted and said, what are we going to do without this kid? You know, and
there is a petition.
Yeah, well, I look around at all the good teams in the competition, and they all have one thing in common. It's an attacking fullback. Fullback's the most important position you've got to have. And I, you know, like South getting rid of Reynolds, well, they might have a couple of young kids coming through, but not for another 2 or 3 years will they get the fruits of that labour. And I think the same with the Dragons. I don't think Cody Ramsey is a fullback at the minute. I think even the guys who are coming through aren't going to be a fullback for the next 2 or 3 years. So in the short term, you want to win games. You want to win. And I think with Jack DeBellin coming back, I think within a month he's going to be back to his peak fitness. The Dragons could have a real surge to the top eight, and they're already in the top eight, but they could cement themselves in there with a lot of stability in their lineup. I think this is the opposite of stability, getting rid of the most attacking weapon after he put a performance like that against the Broncos. And yeah, it was the Broncos, but not everyone sets up 5 tries and scores 2 and has 5 line breaks. He's a special player, and I think that maybe the team that he done that against we'll pick him up.
Well, yeah, we'll have a chat with Reedy after 2 o'clock to find out where Matt Dufty is looking.
You also need to consider where their salary cap's up. Now, if you look at some of those key players in key positions, Ben Hunt, we know what Corey Norman's on about. They haven't got the money. They haven't got the finances. So they might have earmarked fullback as a spot. Now, if Dufty's coming into the open market, you know, the good fullbacks these days are probably one of the most highest paid players in that club. So he might be asking for $800,000. Now, they're probably not in a financial position to pay another player $800,000, and therefore it might be on a financial basis that they need to let him go. Or if he's willing to drop his price, what are you willing to pay a fullback short-term while you're trying to develop someone else who you believe is going to take that position at some point? So there's financial restrictions that are in place due to the salary cap, and that this might be one of those decisions that they need to make.
Goods, you were a little bit prescient last week when you said about Jack DeBellin and what he was kind of built already for this new style of game with his offloads, you know, going digging the line or even before the line. He's obviously, as MG said, he's a few weeks off, but he showed it, didn't he, in his first game back.
Yeah, it was all quality from Jack the other night. He got stood up once by young Kelly, who I thought was great for the Broncos the other night. But, he made that one area where he just overread the situation and timing was a little bit out. But other than that, thought his performance was flawless. About 4 or 5 years ago, he started sort of changing the way the 13, Jake Dvojevic did it a little bit as well, where they started sort of playing out the back of shape a little bit more than like the James Graham did for the Bulldogs back when they had that success. But Jack, that's a natural part of Jack's game. He likes to go right into the line and pass out the back, and he did that on maybe 4 or 5 occasions. They scored off, I think, 2 occasions that he did that. It allowed Benny Hunt just to play with a little bit more width, and Corey Norman as well just gives them a little bit more time and space. They haven't had a 13 that's done that for them, the Dragons, in the past little while he's been gone. So it's a key area of the game now, and it's a box that needs to be ticked by clubs in the new way the game's played. He's going to get that job done for him. There's no doubt about that. And defensively as well, timing-wise, he's a guy you just don't run at because he's got one of the best tackling techniques, and we saw that on a couple of occasions the other night. Attacking players end up looking to see what side of the ruck he's on, not because he hits particularly hard, just because he's got that technique. He's like a Jake Dvojevic that just hurts and you always know you're going to end up on your back and you're going to be dominated. So he's going to really help their cause.
On the other side of the equation, it was another long and nasty night for the Broncos.
Yeah, I said last night in commentary, if this story was about the three little pigs, their house is made of straw. What's the other one? The one to that? Yeah, straw. Straw sticks. Straw.
Straw's the worst.
Penrith, straw's the worst. At the moment, they just buckle under pressure. It was 18-all, and I thought, first half I was enjoying the contest, and they rolled up their sleeves. The first try to David Mead was a great try, well constructed. Kelly was, stepping his way through a lot of traffic all the time, looking dangerous, and then the Asako thing right on half time happened, and Gerd said this last night in commentary as well. You'd think that that'd be motivation to say, you know what, if we get beaten, Jermaine's going to cop it for that one mistake. And as teammates, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But obviously, they didn't have the gumption to get out of what they were in, and they just capitulated big time. And they've done it, how many times this year? 5 times this year, they've conceded 40 points. It's a worry. It's a big worry because we talk about defence, and at the moment the Broncos think that's a thing around the house.
You demand.
Welcome to Tony's Spotting Quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's even got an opening now.
Did you hear that?
I love it.
That is so good.
You've made it when you've got an opening if you see.
There you go.
You happy with that?
I think you're disappointed because represents your era well too with that background music.
Come on. Wow. I'm going to mark you very tough in this quiz, Gerds, for that. Now, Wado, this is very simple operation in this quiz. I'm just going to ask a series of questions. You're going to have... How long does this music go all the way? Oh, beautiful. Five minutes.
The bed. Yeah, the bed.
Doesn't get any better. You're going to use your names as your buzzers. If you could test those for me, please.
Wade.
MG.
Yes.
Ryan.
MG.
I like Wade's. It's good. All right. And we're ready to play. They're very simple questions. And the first one is very simple. And I am kind of at you, Wade, but everybody gets a crack at it. Name the 3 players to be released by Cronulla.
Ryan. Wow. Who was that?
I think it was MG.
It was Woodsy. It was Johnson. And it was Dugan.
Correct. Why did Ash...
They're not released.
No, they're not released.
No,
for next year.
For next year.
Oh, okay. I don't like that question. I think it's technically wrong.
Well, the question's wrong. The answer was correct.
I think the question's wrong. Well, then how can the answer be right if the question's wrong?
That's a good point.
How did you go in your HSC?
It's like the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, it's good at English, talking rubbish.
He's on the board.
Absolutely. He's done very well. This is the first time the question has been challenged. And, you know, there is some validity to your challenge. But given that, I'm still giving the points to MG, the point. Why did Ash Barty pull out of the French Open?
Ryan.
Yes, Ryan.
Injury.
Yes, can you be more specific?
No, just injury.
Hip flexor.
Well done, MG.
No. You said why. You didn't say with what injury did she pull out with
I
you.
Did
you
an said opener why. And as the music run out.
You said, I'm going to challenge the question.
It hasn't happened in 3 years, and now just because you got an ally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take that point.
Okay. I'll give you a point and I'll give MG a point as well.
It's probably why we don't get consulted about the rule changes.
Correct.
Can't even get through the rule first.
If Peter Valenza was asking these questions, nobody would challenge him. Question three. How much did the Queensland government reportedly pay to have... Yes, Ryan.
$8 million.
$8 million, which they're not going to get all of back.
No.
Okay, this is the nearest the pin, so you each get a go at it. What is the population of Townsville?
Oh, nearest the pin, we all get a go.
Mm-hmm.
Population of Townsville.
I don't even know where to start. I'd say 200,000.
I'm going to say 85,000.
Okay, MG?
I'll go 120.
Wow, Wade, you were 200,000. As by the end of June, it's going to be 198,902. Wade Graham is on fire.
It's a big city, mate.
All right, and given you your partner is French-Canadian, question number five. Can you say, anybody say, get him onside ref in French?
No, I can't say that.
Correct. Okay, question number two. How many Penrith players are involved in Origin 1? Yes.
Seven
is correct. Which Australian won the Moto2 GP on Monday? Who said?
Yes, MG.
No, I said Ryan.
Remy Gardner.
Hey, Remy.
Question, how many points have the Broncos conceded this season?
A lot.
Very good.
Defence.
398.
Have they?
398.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how dumb is it for St. George Illawarra to tell Matt Duffy he's no longer wanted? Yes, MG.
9.
I'll accept 9, but I also would have accepted 11. What are the ingredients in a Negroni?
A Negroni.
Ooh. Is it a drink?
Oh, yeah. I'm pouring one almost now. Drink responsibly.
I don't know.
Gin, vermouth, and Campari. Finally, true or false? Townsville averages 330 sunny days a year.
True.
False.
Well, hopefully there's another cloudy day up there next Wednesday when the Blues win.
It's 300 sunny days a year. MG, you are the winner of the quiz.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.